This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Colin Wilson from the Action Network, 20 minutes from now, talking Texas A&M, Alabama, and all things getting us set for the college football season, which, like, there's a lot of juice right now, thanks to the comments from Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher. But we get back to the National Football League here with Nick and Ken. And you were saying, Ken, when we hit the break about the Packers and Vikings, that, just like Kevin O'Connell, game number one for him, you think the number should be three, and your thoughts on Green Bay at Minnesota.
Yeah, I just think, two questions that are worth answering. Green Bay, do you think that they're going to be better, worse, or the same than they were last year? You were mentioning in the break, you think their defense is going to be better. Obviously, they don't have Devontae Adams anymore. How do they fill that on their offense? Still Rodgers and LaFleur, basically the most successful tandem in the history of the NFL, basically in the regular season. So, feel like the rating probably has a pretty high floor. But if you, as you make them worse, you get under a field goal in this game very easily. And then on the Vikings side, Kirk Cousins teams have had quite possibly the most stable rating of any team since I've been doing ratings. They're never rated too high or too low. It's actually like their rating is the perfect encapsulation of his career, basically, where they're always like slightly above average, basically. I have them rated slightly above average this year. I don't see a reason to change that. So Minnesota's a team I think I've got right, unless you want to try to make an argument that this Kirk Cousins team is going to be so much different. And even the team that made the playoffs that ended up losing to the Niners, beat the Saints in the wild card round, lost to the Niners, was rated very close to this. Remember, the Niners went off as, what, 6.5, 7 in that game, something like that, I think.
And beat the hell out of them.
And performed quite well. And the Saints were obviously favored in the wild card game too. So, I think I got Minnesota right. It's really just like, how do you view Green Bay this year? If you're going to argue they should be worse, just keep in mind that for the last couple of years, everyone has argued that they would be way worse and that they were a fluke team. And then they just blow through all the win total projections, basically. So just, kind of keep that in mind.
My thought would be for Minnesota this year, the possibility why I might like the Vikings a little bit more is volatility with the new head coach. Whereas with Mike Zimmer, we knew what we were getting. Big favorite, bet against them, big dog bet on them. All the games are going to end up with one possession because that's the way he coached. I think it could potentially lend to more volatile outcomes if Kevin O'Connell is more aggressive, right? Like, they could get blown out in games, whereas like they would play it close to the vest because Zimmer was so conservative and he had the offense run conservatively. And maybe they win some more games by margin here. So what do you think about that? Like with O'Connell, like new outcomes being introduced into the equation, because it was always Zimmer and Cousin, and Zimmer was like incredibly on one end of the spectrum, and maybe O'Connell's just down the middle and not like super aggressive, but like he also could be like very aggressive, right? McVay disciple, although McVay I guess is not like extremely aggressive himself, so we'll see.
Right. Well, I think where that would come into play more, this would probably not be a game where you would consider that aspect of it. Maybe for the total, I guess you would consider that aspect of it. Just like, is the pace of the game going to be fast, like plays per minute or average play time? I forgot all my football statistics because it's the off season. Where I think it would come into play a little bit more is if you felt like they were a volatile team that were not going to play at all, like how Mike Zimmer teams played, you would maybe be more likely to bet them in games where they were a big favorite, where you'd never bet the Vikings as a big favorite with Zimmer as the head coach. And maybe even as a big dog, you'd be less likely to bet on them because like they're not a team that's just keep the game close, conservative. They were a team that was like the teaser nuts last year. Like you would just tease the Vikings over a touchdown in every game. You'd never lose all of the one possession games they played. You would probably just, in the other tools in your toolbox, you know, you would play them differently in teasers. You'd play them differently in like extremely lined games, big favorite, big underdog. That probably won't be this. So it's just, I think you could be onto something. It just probably wouldn't manifest itself in this game just because of how it's lined.
All right, so that's the Packers and Vikings in the NFC North. We'll go from the NFC North to the AFC West, where we've got the Chargers and the Raiders in Los Angeles, rematch of the epic game they played in Week 18, won by the Raiders in overtime, which sent Brandon Staley and the Chargers home and the Raiders to the playoffs, where they would lose and somehow not cover against the Bengals in a game that was infuriating to Ken, myself, and I'm sure a lot of other people. The number in the market right now, Chargers a 4-point favorite, total 51.5. I have Chargers in between 3.5 and 5.5. I had no issue with the number, although intuitively think the Raiders might make a little sense in this game, but curious what your number is here with the Chargers and the Raiders.
Yeah, I'm further out a little bit than this, but there's a bunch of stuff in this game that's like super interesting. So I'm more like 4.5, between 4.5 and 5, really. And the market's basically between 3.5 and 4 on the game. So my number is like, you should think about the Chargers here, basically. But let's just kind of like remember the home field advantage for the Chargers and how we want to rate that. I'm giving them 0. I think you could make an argument based on what we saw last year that the Raiders should receive home field advantage in the game. Like, I actually think that's possible. Are we sure the Chargers aren't going to be on a silent count in this game? Are we sure about that? I had a bunch of instances in the LA stadium last year where that was a situation.
New coach,
the Rams, Niners
Devontae
games.
Adams, Raider Nation's going to be in a froth to start the season about the potential of the team this year.
And I would never, ever, I could never even see myself making an argument like that, even last year, having not seen it. And like, I actually think you could make a case that the Raiders should receive more consideration home field than the Chargers should maybe in this game, which is so stupid, but maybe correct. And then it's like, all right, if we do that, and then I kind of just hold out hope here. Like, my baseline rating for the Raiders can't be too high because it's sort of based on like a lot of speculation by me of how this is going to work. Like, basically it's like, well, how do you view the upgrade from Gruden / Passaccia interim coach to Josh McDaniels? I can't just give them a big upgrade because I want to. Like, I would like to see it play out, see how the market kind of treats the Raiders. Okay, they get Adams. The roster isn't, like, amazingly better than last year's team, besides that one big addition, obviously. So it's like, you know, like my number, I knew it was going to say it about the Chargers. Everyone loves the Chargers again this year, just like they did last year. I will guarantee you, if it's more than a field goal, I will bet the Raiders in this game. And part of that is going to be historical trends and stuff like that. You have a division underdog, not even on the road. Like, I don't even want to say that that's what this game is. They're playing away from Vegas. It's not a road game. They're just playing away from Vegas. And it's more than a field goal. And I am very much of the opinion that McDaniels is a massive upgrade over Gruden Passaccia, even though I can't like put that in the rating. This is like going to be, I have the historical stuff, so I would probably bet the Raiders anyway. We can see where the number goes. This is going to be kind of like I'm going to like step in and make a bet here because of what I think, which is, I think the Raiders are actually going to be like much, much, much better. And it's like, we're just going to do with this with the Chargers again. Like, just let's just keep giving them credit over for years now. Let's just give them all this credit. Team hasn't even made the playoffs yet. Like, let's give them all this credit in all these games facing the team that did make the playoffs last year in a game that's going to be 90% Raiders fans and they're 3.5-4. Like, it's just like people like the Chargers in that game. Really? Like, I haven't heard a compelling case, and I don't think I will hear one for why the Chargers would be valuable. Doesn't mean they can't cover. It's just like, it has to be the Raiders for me in this game. It just has to.
You bet BetQL Network, Nick and Ken, going through Ken's projected spreads for Week 1 in the NFL. I think we're rolling here. So let's go. We'll stay with one of the teams in the AFC West playing a true road game here. And that would be the Kansas City Chiefs, who travel to Arizona to take on Oatmeal for Brains, Cliff Kingsbury, and the Cardinals. Total here is 53. The number in the market is basically 2.75 for the Chiefs, right in between 2.5 and 3. Total in the game is 53. Ken, my number is pretty much like identical, 2.5. I actually think 3, I'd consider betting Arizona. So I have Chiefs favored, but by less than 3. So Kansas City, again, minus 2.75, total 53. Your thoughts here, Kansas City at Arizona, Week 1.
I mean, it's kind of like a Packers conversation, right? You have this pairing of Reed and Mahomes and, you know, Eric Bieniemy calling plays. And it's like, all right, is that enough to overcome the loss of, like, the most significant part of your offense from a skill position standpoint with Tyreek Hill going to Miami? Like, just like Devontae Adams going to Vegas, like, all right, can LaFleur Rodgers, should their baseline rating still be about the same? Because we just think they're going to figure it out. And in this case, it's like, do we think the Chiefs are just going to figure it out? Pretty smart team. Mahomes pretty good. Reed pretty good. So it's just trying to figure out what their rating should be. is a little tricky. I think you have like, I think a natural inclination to want to downgrade them a little bit. I think you can easily get to this number by doing so. My number, we haven't even talked about the Cardinals yet. My number in the game is 1.5. I think something like that. So sure. Fine. I have nothing in this game that makes me want to bet either side right now either. From like a historical angle standpoint. So I think it's a market that makes a ton of sense. Even at 3, I would have to, I have to think a lot more about Arizona before I would say like I'd bet them at 3, or maybe that's just the right number because the Chiefs can overcome the Tyreek Hill loss and kind of like maintain the rating that they maintain. Cause if the Chiefs are going to like maintain status as like best team in the league with the types of ratings that they had last year, then this needs to probably be at least 3 or more. It's just, how do you view them? Can they overcome that loss and like keep the same team rating? Basically, that's like sort of the question in this game, I think.
Do you give Arizona any advantage here for having the hotter head coach, Cliff Kingsbury, against Andy Reid?
Or, I mean, a ridiculous
question. People
that
missed the conversation Will Brinson, yes, and I had, which I am absolutely going to shoehorn into conversations with Ken because I think it's hilarious.
I will respond to that with an actually like sort of serious counterpoint, which is just, well, how about just that it's a part of the year where the team historically thrives versus
no,
the
no
end of the
Hopkins,
year, right?
So, I don't, which I don't think really matters, but it is worth noting. No Hopkins,
right,
in week one for Arizona.
No Hopkins in week one, but if you look at like the history of Cliff Kingsbury coaching anything, way, way, way better early in the year. Obviously, like destroyed Tennessee week one last year in a game that had a small point spread.
We had
Kyler
Arizona
was outstanding. We sure did. Kyler was outstanding. They played very well, like early in the season, period. And then, as
Chandler
everyone
Jones
knows
had
by
five
now,
sacks in that game, I think, right?
He did. His defensive player of the year odds, I think, went from like 100 to like 8 or something.
And
in the
and
game,
then
was
I
very
think
funny.
He had,
yeah.
And then I think he didn't have another sack for like 2
correct
months.
Right. Yeah. That would, we would call that, what was it? Buying high if you would bet Chandler Jones after that game, basically. Not the buy low, sell high strategy you would probably like to use in investments. That was like, oh, Chandler Jones had 5 sacks. He's 100-1. Now he's 8. I'm betting it. Like, that probably would have been a bad decision. So, I think this is a market that's kind of like got it right totally, basically. Not interested in betting it. Very interesting game. How do you view Kansas City without Tyreek Hill? That probably defines, like, do you think it should be 3 or not, basically?
I kind of initially lean towards the over in the game, but we can have this conversation as we kind of lead towards football.
There's season. Also a part of me that's like, Mahomes less than a field goal against this team. Like, don't I just have to bet this? There's also a part of me that just thinks that. Like, sure. No matter what I view the difference between the teams to be.
Sure. I think 3, I'd be interested in Arizona right now, but at the current number, the 2.5, no interest. Tampa Bay, a 2-point favorite on the road in Dallas, total 51.5. This number opened at 3, and I said on the air on Thursday last week, like, no way, can't be 3. Now it's 2, and I do think Tampa should be favored in the game just by less than 3. So I think my numbers, it might actually be 2. Let's see. I have Bucks 1.5. So I have Tampa favored in the game, but I do not have Bucks 3. 2, I don't know what I would do here. What do you have here for Tampa and Dallas? Sunday Night Football.
And a rematch of the opening game last year, which was incredibly
exciting.
Right,
which was Tampa minus 8.5, and Tampa won by 2.
Yeah, and looked like they were going to lose. Late field goal drive. Dallas took the lead very late in that game. I had Tampa in survivor pools in like every pool, basically, and was like, oh, I'm just going to lose everything in week one in the first game.
Walk
oh,
off, right? And who caught someone on Tampa caught the pass to get him in field goal range? Like, someone ridiculous.
Yeah, I won't remember who it was, but
yeah, I think it was Gio Bernard, actually.
You might be right. You could, I don't remember, but you could definitely be right about that. Super fun game. Hopefully this game meets that, those expectations. My number's about the same. 1.7, between 1.5 and 2. Opened 3, went to 2, which is kind of funny. Yeah, can't really get to 3 in the game. If I rate Tampa like the best team in the league, I can't get to 3 in the game. So I just, it makes a lot of sense. I think what you said when it came out, I didn't even know it opened 3, actually, which is really funny. Couple things on each team. Tampa, actually, a couple things on each team. I have less on Tampa. I think they have a really stable rating. Now, it has a little bit of wiggle room. Are they better or worse than last year or even the year before? They've been rated almost identically both years, and it's been so stable, and it's always been at the top of the league. Not necessarily number one, but like among the best teams. I would feel very confident that that rating will at least stay the same to start the year. So Tampa, I think, is like rock solid. You got that locked in. Dallas was at times rated like one of the best teams last year in the league, like really like almost tied for number one with Buffalo for a couple weeks toward the end of the season. So how do you adjust their rating? I'm going to generally be very pessimistic about a team's chances when they outperformed the rest of the league in takeaways so much. Dallas's defense forced more takeaways than any team in the league last year. Those are plays that tend to not occur in back-to-back seasons, or at least like revert back to the mean pretty quickly and cause a team that might look awesome. Like when we think about Dallas, oh my God, like Parsons and Trevon Diggs and the interception stuff. It's like, what I'm telling you is those guys could actually have better defensive seasons, even if those not like that specific number is not there. And the team could win way fewer games because of just the impact of a singular takeaway play and how much impact that has on win probability. Like Parsons could develop and be better, but maybe he just doesn't force as many fumbles. And Diggs could probably cover a lot better. That's what everybody seems to agree on. But maybe he just doesn't have like the game-changing interceptions. There are defenses all littered throughout the last couple decades that have done that, that have actually gotten better statistically, but they didn't get the takeaways, and so they didn't win as many games. So I would be like very, very hesitant to bet Dallas in this game. I have just a sneaking suspicion that this is like a 10-7, 9-8 team that's like looks really good on paper. That's what it feels like to me. I might bet Tampa in the game. I haven't decided yet, but under a field goal, I don't think I would bet Dallas with how I'm going into the season thinking about them.
If the number right now are Tampa 3, would you be saying like I like Dallas at 3, or you wouldn't even consider that?
I think I'd be like, I'm good. Like I guess I just passed the game because maybe people are thinking the same way I am about Dallas this year.
The unfortunate thing here is that like Dallas would be in Wong teaser range, right? Getting Dallas up to 8. Like you could never tease them in this game.
Well, it's a very high total game, which typically is bad for Wong teasers.
But it's also like, I feel like Tampa could scoring. Beat the hell out of yeah. them. Like, as
well, that's what I mean. We're saying the same thing. Basically, yeah. you're saying it in like an easy to understand way. And I'm saying it in a mathematical way. That's basically it.
Yeah. But like, I just like against Tampa, like no way, just no way, no how. We got a bunch there here. We could really just do Monday Night Football to start the Power Hour and then do the Monsters with the Broncos and Seahawks. And I feel like based on what you said yesterday, you kind of have a lot to say about that game, right? With Denver and Seattle on Monday night.
It's I don't know if I have anything concrete about betting, but there are lots of interesting things about both teams. I do have a bet in the game, which we can reveal in the Power Hour.
Great. I'm excited to hear that. We'll hear that at the start of the Power Hour, but coming up next, Jimbo Fisher went scorched earth earlier today on Nick Saban. We will discuss Texas A&M, Bama, and the rest of college football with Colin Wilson from the Action Network.
It's You Better You Bet from BetQL. Download the BetQL app today to get the latest analytics to help you beat the sportsbooks.